Chapter 1. Inventory item, wedding gown. Approximate date, 1952. Condition, good, minor discoloration on lining. Item description, ivory, T-length gown with scooped neckline and cap sleeves. Silk taffeta with crinoline understructure. Source, dress acquired from the couple's daughter. Violet. Beneath the ash trees on Johnson Street, just east of campus, Hourglass Vintage stood in a weathered brick building, wedged between a fair trade coffee shop and a bike repair business. Behind the boutique's windows, Violet Turner was buttoning a mannequin into a smocked sundress. She sighed as undergraduates with bright scarves and red faces rushed by the shop without glancing at her or the garments on display. Gray spring days like this one were all about hurrying and practicality, and Violet didn't like either concept. People in practical moods didn't wander into the shop to buy Bakelite jewelry or turn-of-the-century kid gloves. Even the hardy street musicians, bearded bluegrass players who usually staked out a spot near the crosswalk, had packed up their banjos and left. Violet tucked a strand of short black hair behind her ear and bent down to tie an espadrille sandal onto the mannequin's ankle. When she got back up, a pair of blue eyes stared back at her. A girl stood outside, just inches from the window, clutching a 1950s wedding dress against her fleece jacket. Violet remembered the girl. She had come in a few weeks earlier and tried on half a dozen bridal gowns before selecting the full-skirted one she held now, which flapped in the wind like a surrender flag. The girl entered the shop and spread the dress on the counter. "I need to return this." "I'm sorry, but we don't allow returns." Violet took her place behind the register and smoothed her checkered skirt against her hips.
"Can't you at least give me back part of what I paid?"
The girl ran her hands over the silk fabric of the wedding gown, letting them linger on the tulle rosettes along the hem.
"I wish I could, but it's store policy," Violet said.
She felt a blast of dry heat from the old radiator affixed to the wall and peeled off her pearl-buttoned cardigan, a find from her Grandma Lou's closet after she passed away. The girl stared at the tattoo of a flame-licked phoenix on Violet's freckled bicep, then looked away when Violet caught her staring.
"I guess I hoped you could make an exception," the girl said. "I could really use the money."
Her eyes clouded with tears, a layer of water over blue ice. Violet started to bite her lip, then remembered she was wearing red lipstick. She felt sorry for the girl, but she needed to be firm on her rule. Since she sold second-hand items, there was no way to tell if an item had been worn when a customer brought it back. If she allowed returns, she worried that her shop would become like a lending library for vintage clothes. She handed the girl a Kleenex from a crocheted tissue box holder. The girl took the tissue and wiped her wet cheeks.
"Sorry, I'm a mess."
"It's okay."
Seeing the heartbreak in the girl's face reminded Violet of a time in her own life she didn't like to think about. The pain that had permeated the breakup of her marriage and culminated in her moving to Madison 5 years earlier.
"I don't usually cry in front of strangers," the girl said.
"I helped you pick out your wedding dress. I'd like to think I'm not a total stranger. I'm Violet, by the way."
"I'm April Morgan."
The girl shoved the crumpled tissue into her purse, a battered leather schoolboy satchel.
"I like your bag," Violet said. "It looks like it's from the 70s.
"Yeah, it belonged to my mom."
Violet sensed the girl had a story to tell, and listening to other people's stories was her specialty. Every item in the boutique had a story behind it, from a Missoni caftan to a Fendi baguette bag with the tag still on it. If Violet didn't know the real story behind something, she liked to fill in the blanks with her imagination. She knew the caftan, for instance, was from an Italian professor who bought it when she studied abroad in Italy as a college student in the 70s.
The professor said she'd had a short but passionate love affair with a distant cousin of Vittorio Emanuele, the last crown prince of Italy. Violet believed her, too, because of the way the woman's cheeks had burned as she recounted the story.